Amen. Praise God. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Y'all can wake up this morning. Amen. Come on now. Let's have a little church up in here. Praise God. It is always good to be in God's house. It's just a joy to be in God's house.
Amen.
It's a joy to be with the saints, to be able to preach the word of God, to teach the word of God. But not only that, but to be able to fellowship with our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And in fellowshipping with one another, knowing that we are fellowshipping with God. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. It is always good to be in San Diego. I come down and preach, and I look forward to this time when I can get down and preach. It's like home. Amen.
Amen.
Home away from home, back at home. You know what I mean? Amen. Praise God. So it's always good. Good to see all of you out this morning. Sister Williams, good to see you. Amen. Praise God. Sister Williams worshiped with us a long time up in Paris. And so it's always good to see you. We miss you. Amen. You better come on home now. Amen. Praise God. And so we just good. I'm just good to be here. And Raven Street, you know, I just love you guys dearly. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Just love you dearly. You know, always... you know, it's kind of a challenge sitting over there without Brother Leggett. Amen. His voice is so, you know, just so present. And when he's not there, you know, you can just feel it and sense it. And you know he's not feeling well, but that brother is a true soldier and inspiration in my life. That's my papa in the gospel. Amen. Such a good man. So we just continue to pray for him and pray for his lovely wife. Amen. She's over there. We see you. Amen. Praise God. And it's just good to see you. Always, Sister Leggett, good to see you. We know when John is down, you know it weighs heavy on you. So we know what you're going through. Amen. So we're definitely praying for you. And we continue to pray for all of those that are sick and afflicted. And continue to pray for the church of Christ. Amen. Y'all better pray for the church. Amen. Keep the church lifted up. Amen, because there is so much that is going on within the body of Christ.
Amen.
But Paul warned us that these days would come. You know, he says in the latter days, men will defect the gospel. You know, they're going to leave the doctrine. They're going to give heed to seducing spirits.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And they're going to follow them doctrines of demons and devils. Amen. And that's what we're seeing today.
Amen.
Amen. We're seeing... you know, a great falling away. Our job is to pray for the church and encourage the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Encourage those that sit next to you every day, those that you call on the phone, encourage them to stay faithful. We got a generation coming up, and we are the generation inspirers. Amen.
Yeah.
It's on us. Old folk. Well, I don't like to say old folk. Older people. It's on us. It's on us. Will the church, will the house of God, will the church be empty? Or will it be full? It's on us. God has given us everything we need pertaining to godliness and righteousness. God adds to the church based on our actions, based on what we do. So if the church is empty, it's our fault. We got to stand. We're going to stand before Christ and give an account for that.
Amen.
Brother Prewick got to stand up there and Lord knows in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
So will the church be empty or will it be full? That's just something to think about when you look at what's going on.
Right.
It's not about blame. The days of blaming one another is over. It's just about working together now.
Amen.
That's it. It sounds so simple, don't it? That's all it is. That's it. We don't need no, we ain't got to go get no engineering degree. You don't have to go get no degree in theology. That's all it is.
Amen.
When we work together, we manifest the presence of God.
That's right.
Psalms 133. We manifest the presence of God. On the day of Pentecost, presence of God was there.
Amen.
And Lord added to the church.
Amen.
That same Lord is still adding. If we choose. If we choose. It's on us. Amen. So let us remember, church, it's on us. And I just like to drop that at the church. I like to tell the church, hey, you know what? We can do this.
Amen.
We can do this. We can fill this building up next week if we chose to. All we got to do is work together. Remember the church at Ephesus, Paul? You know, remember the church at Ephesus? All Jesus asked him to do was repent, didn't he? That's it. Repent. And that's all the church today need to do is repent. That's it. And just work together. Amen.
Amen.
Our lesson text this morning was taken from the book of Acts. Acts 2 and verse number, we're going to start in verse number 37. And we're going to work our way to verse number 47. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. So if you read a little bit different, just hold on. You'll get it here in a minute. Amen. Acts 2 and verse number 37. I use the modern translation just for clarity. Amen.
Amen.
For clarity. Amen. 237. The Bible says in verse number 37. Where am I at here? Okay. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you and to your children and to even to the Gentiles. All you have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. That sounds like me there. Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day. About 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves. Y'all hear that? Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possession and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while, praising God.
Amen.
And enjoying the goodwill of all the people.
Amen.
And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. With those thoughts in mind, I want to use as a subject and title this morning, it's in my genes. Shut up in my bones. It's in my genetics this morning. Amen. There is a formula to life. We have just read the formula to the church. We have just heard the words of God. There is a formula to life, church. When we look at the genetics of the church that we've just read, we should be very excited. This morning, let's make an attempt, church, to identify our genes. In other words, what we are made of. what we ought to look like, what we ought to act like. It's very important to understand our genetics. You can identify relatives simply by understanding some genes. Genetics, according to Wikipedia, is the study of genes and tries to explain what they are and how they work. Genes are how living organisms inherit features from their ancestors. For example, children usually look like their parents because they have inherited their parents' genes. Are y'all with me? Genetics tries to identify which features are inherited and explain how these features are passed from generation to generation. Now, when it comes to the church has some genes. Amen.
Amen.
The church have genetics.
All right.
And these genetics ought to be passed on from generation to generation.
All right.
And so we just read from Acts 2:37 to 2:38 some real genes. And this is how folk ought to be able to identify the churches of Christ. If the church belongs to Jesus, then we ought to be identified by the genes of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And so we see that the Bible teaches us that genes, or that the spirit, amen, I'm talking about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is where we inherit our genes from the Holy Spirit. That's where we get our genes, church. Amen. So to identify these genes, we have to go into the Bible. We have to look at what the Bible teaches us. Amen. Now, in genetics, a feature of living things is called a trait. We ought to have certain traits in the church, because the church is a living organism. So we ought to have certain traits in the church. Amen. Some traits are part of an organism's physical appearance, such as a person's eye color, height, or weight. Other sorts of traits are not easily seen and include blood types or resistant to diseases. We ought to have a resistance to certain diseases. I'm talking about certain sin.
Amen. All right.
We ought to have a resistance to sin. Why? Because of our genetics. I'm talking about the church. Some traits are inherited through our genes. So some is tall, some is thin, some is you know, some folks slim and some folks fat and so forth. So church, this morning, not to bore you with all of that, I want to look at the church, a living organism, and it should reproduce of its own kind. And then I also want to look at the church genetics, the parents. And then I want to look at the fact that it should be shed up in our bones. This is, if we understand where we come from, you ever notice a child that never met his parent act just like that parent? I know that's your daddy, boy. I know that's your daddy, little bow-legged self. I know that's your daddy. You can see the genes, and that's the way we in the church ought to be. Folk ought to be able to identify us because of our genes, amen? Because of who our parents are, right? The church is a living organism. Any organism, church, that fails to breed of its kind is destined to fail. Is destined to fail. Matthew 16 and verse number 18, Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. Amen. That's his church. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's his church. And these are the genes in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 12. We are all one body. The church is a unified body. So harmony and care for each other in the church is essential. Paul viewed the church as the living body of Christ, comprised of believers. Paul made no formal distinction between professional, clergy, or laity. The community had leaders, but every believer had a ministry in building up the body. When the early believers gathered together, usually in someone's house, everybody brought something from God to share with others. Now I'm going to say that again. When the early believers came together, everybody brought something from God to share with the other believers. Amen. We can find that in 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 33. Paul understood God's spirit as gifting people for their specific ministries, Romans 12. And Ephesians 4 and verse number 11. And leading them when they came together for worship. Guided by the Spirit. Every believer was to use their spiritual gifts for the benefit of the church. Paul wanted believers to be sensitive to the empowerment of the Spirit in all that they did. When believers met together, or when believers meet together, should I say, every individual in this room is important. And each one of us has an active role to play. Amen. James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. So we all have an active role to play. Amen. The church genetics. In Genesis 1, in verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Mm-hmm. The earth was formless and empty. And darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the water. Here's your genetics. Here's your genetics, the Spirit of God. John 3 and verse number 3. Born again. Jesus says, except the man be born again, right. Born of the Spirit, that's right, and of the water, he cannot, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Right. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says God gives his Holy Spirit to all who comes into a saving relationship with Christ. Right. Watch what the book says. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen. Who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Okay. This is the genetics here. You must be born of the Spirit. Come on. Amen. And when you're born of the Spirit, you act like the Spirit. Amen. See, when you're born of the Spirit, you begin to look like the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God is living in you, amen. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
When the Spirit of God is living in you, just some things you can see. I don't have to tell you that I'm a Christian. There's some things that you can see. I don't have to stand up here and tell you I'm a black man.
Some things you can see.
Amen.
And so if you are born of the Spirit, there's some things that you can see. There's just some things that you can see. When the Spirit of God is living in you, are y'all with me now?
Yes.
There is just some things you can see. Amen.
Amen.
When your genetics, when your daddy is the Holy Spirit. When your papa is the Holy Spirit,
yes,
you're going to look like your daddy.
Amen.
Folk can identify you how you look. Amen. See, when the Spirit is your father, let me go back to John 3. He says, be born of the Spirit and of the water. The Spirit is the female factor because that's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He.
Yeah.
The water is the female factor. Amen.
Amen.
And so watch this now. When you are born of the Spirit,
yeah,
folk can see. Your DNA, folk can see your genetics. Amen. Watch this now. When you're born of the Spirit, you have a tendency to pull them up.
Yes.
I'm talking about your pants, young man.
All right. Speak well, sir.
Jesus, I just don't believe that Jesus was a hip-hop Jesus.
Okay.
I don't believe that because the scriptures do not show that. When you belong to Jesus, when your genes... It's when your father, should I say, is the Holy Spirit. Watch this here. Love is going to come from you. Love is going to come from you. Joy is going to come from you.
Okay.
Peace is going to reign in you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but you know something else. When Jesus is your father, you're going to be gentle.
Say it again.
Amen. Yeah. See, when your father is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Folk can see your gentleness because it's your genes. I don't care how much you tell me that you are a Christian. I don't even listen to that anymore. That's why it's not even, you don't have to tell folk you're a Christian if you are in fact a Christian. Patient. See, these are attributes of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Acts 2 and verse number 38. Now watch what this says now. Acts 2, 38. Here's the church. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's your father. That's your father. That's your father, and we ought to act just like our father. Amen.
Yes.
In Galatians 3 and verse number 2, let me ask you this one question, Paul says. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ.
Well,
how foolish can you be after starting your Christian lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? And that's the problem. That's the problem. We try and become perfect through our own effort.
That's right.
And we forget who's our father.
Amen.
That's just like a child trying and do everything on his own. And if he don't obey his parents, if his parents is not instinctively in him and he follow that instinction, what happens is he usually goes astray. And that's what's happening in the church. And then we go out and we get all of this worldly wisdom. Ain't nothing wrong with education. Get all you can. Get as much as you can. But still, you have to know who is your daddy. Who's your father? And that your father is the Holy Spirit. Amen. And see, if we allowed our father to direct us, guess what? We wouldn't be in the shape that we're in. And then Paul goes on to say in verse number 5, I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe.
Right.
You believe the message you heard about Christ.
All right.
The spirit church brings new life. Brings new life. Brings new life in the Christian. That's what the spirit does. New life. The Bible says that we are new creatures. So we ought to be new. Anybody in here new? The old is gone. That's the way we ought to be. Why? Because it's in our bones. It's in our genes. It's in our genetics. This is who we are. This is who we are. And when we are who we are, that's when God, the Bible says, that God adds to our numbers. God adds to the church. Amen. Amen, church. And that's why the Bible could say in Acts 2 and verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? Because that's our genetics. That's who we are. If we had the same praise, the same songs in our heart today, if we was enthused about what we are doing, excited for the Lord, on fire for the Lord. All right. And not only that, but having favor with all people. Not fighting, but favor. Amen. With all people. Come on. And God will add to our numbers. Why? Because that's our genetic. It's moving us. It's in our bones. And it's got us moving. Amen. Everybody ought to have some of this. Why? Because it's so good. Amen. The formula for a successful church is praising God. Amen. Praising God. Having favor. And God adds to the number. And the Bible says they receive this message with gladness.
Amen.
Gladness. After Peter had preached a long time. Amen. I just had to throw that in there because, you know, they say I preach a long time. Amen. Church. Church, it ought to be in our bones, church. Amen, church, it ought to be in our bones. I'm telling you. And look at 2 Thessalonians 2 in verse number 13. Paul says, for us, we can't help but thank God for you. Dear brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, we are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation.
Amen.
You tell me we ought not to be excited. You tell me we ought not to be excited. Don't you know we are amongst the first to receive salvation? Amen.
Amen.
A salvation that came through the Holy Spirit. Now you tell me we don't have a praise in our heart. See, that's why it ought to be shed up in our bone. That's why we ought to be so excited. Because it came. Our salvation comes through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Amen, church. I'm telling you, you got to be born of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
You got to be born of the Spirit to understand your genetics.
Mm-hmm.
To understand who you are. To understand who's your father. Get to know your father.
That's right.
To understand how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God.
Uh-huh.
To understand who we are and how much power we have.
Amen.
How rich that we are.
Amen.
What's the problem with the church today? What's the problem? God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation. A salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy. We holy folk. We royal folk. I told you the last time I was down here preaching on the church. We are holy folk.
Yes, sir.
We are a royal priesthood.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that don't make you happy.
Yes,
we are priests. We got the power to take it to the Lord.
Amen.
And we're the only ones that have that power to take it to the Lord. We can go in the holiest of the holiest place.
Yes, sir.
Man, it's set up in my bone. Maybe we need a piano or something up in here to get me going. Amen. Because y'all act like y'all ain't getting this here. Amen.
Amen.
Holy folk.
Yes, sir.
Royalty.
Amen.
Amen. I told you last time I was down here, Obama ain't got nothing on me, but he got a better suit than I got. But that man ain't got nothing on me.
Right.
I'm a holy man.
Amen.
Amen. I got to, it's set up in my bone. My genes tells me what to do and how to respond to life.
Amen.
That's how I respond to life. How?
Yeah.
By what my father say to do.
All right.
There's no way in the world I'm not going to have joy.
All right.
Let me tell you something. If you don't have no joy, you don't have no Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you're sad, especially on Sunday morning, especially on Sunday morning, you ain't got no Jesus. You just, there ain't no other way to put it. You just don't have Jesus. It ain't in your bones. Amen. If you mad, it ain't in your bones. If you're grudgingly doing something, you don't have no Jesus. It's just like when that collection plate passed. I know y'all didn't want me to go there. But that's when that money passed. You grudge, you ain't got no Jesus. Jesus done bless you, bless him. Hey, that's all. If you love him,
yeah.
Husbands, if you love your wife, don't you bless her?
That's right.
Well, why don't you bless Jesus?
Amen.
You see that? Joy. You don't have no peace in your life. He's the Prince of Peace.
Right.
You ain't got no peace in your life, then you might want to check. You might just want to check your genes. You might want to go have a DNA test taken. Amen.
Amen.
And find out who is your father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what you do in the church. You ain't going to steal my peace.
All right,
you're not taking my peace. I don't care how much y'all cuss for. I'm not talking about y'all. I know y'all good folk up in here. Amen. But I'm just talking about, there is some folk up in the church that be cussing and stuff. Amen. But I don't care how much they fuss. You ain't taking my peace.
Amen.
You cannot have my peace, because to take my peace is to take my father.
Amen.
That's to take my father. That's my daddy.
Yes.
You can't take my father. Amen. And so I have to, amen. It's just like anything. Some things you just have to let go. And some people you just have to let go. Amen. Because they'll rob you of your peace. And amen. That ought to be something that's instinctively embedded in us. We ought to be some peaceful folk. We ought to be some peaceful folk. Amen.
Amen.
And now watch this here in Romans 8. Oh, this is good. The Holy Spirit gives the Christian power over sin.
Yes.
See, now watch this here. If your father, now watch, if it's in your bones, if it's in your genetics,
yeah.
Amen, you should have power.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Over sin.
P-O-W-E-R.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If there's a sin that got you all jacked up, and there's a sin that you can't get rid of, then you ought to check your DNA. You need to maybe call a doctor in. Call the Pope or somebody and get an exorcist done or something. I don't know what it is you need, but you need to get your DNA checked out. Why? Because God gives us power over sin. The Christian have power over sin and don't believe that he have power over sin. You ever notice how folk get up and just talk about, we are sinners and Lord, I sin and I sin and I, but you don't have to. Paul says we all have sin. Oh yeah, you have sin, but that don't mean that you just stay there. Because to stay in sin, at some point, you got to understand that you got power over sin.
Amen.
You got the power over sin. If you didn't have the power over sin, what is God doing living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit? I just told you, if you don't believe that you got power over sin, you need to check it out. You need to check it out. The church been taught some stuff way too long. We've been taught some stuff, boy. We've been taught some stuff that just give us a license to go and sin. We ain't got no license to do all of that stuff. We've been taught some stuff that just ain't in the Bible. Amen. It ain't in the book. It's in the mind of men. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch what Paul says in Romans 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul says now there is no condemnation. You've been set free. You've been set free. You've been released from death row.
Right. Yeah.
He says, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin.
Amen.
That leads to death. Who is your daddy? Who's your daddy? Who is your daddy? Who's your daddy? Well, Jesus encountered them Pharisees and those Sadducees out there, and he told them, you are of your father, the devil. But then Jesus tell Nicodemus that you must be born of the spirit and of the water. Either the spirit is your father or Satan is your father. And if I'm still in shackles to sin, I need to get a checkup. Amen. See, we got power that we are not willing to tap into. We sit around like we drunk or something. I don't know. Sit around. Not us, but I'm just saying. Some folks sit around like they drunk or something. That's why Paul says in Ephesians 5, don't be drunk on that wine. Wine will make you do. Wine will have you bumping and grinding and all that old stuff. You better watch out. Be careful. Amen. But Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. That's Ephesians 5. And about verse number 19, you got to be filled with your daddy. It has to be in your bones, man. It got to be set up in your bone.
Amen.
See, it got to be in your bones. I have to know who is my papa. When I know who's my daddy, I know what I can and cannot do.
All right.
That's just like you. That's just like me in the biological sense. Some folk know what they can and what they can't do when pop is in the house. They might get away with some things with mama.
Right.
But when daddy walk in, everything shut down. And that's who we have to know. Now look what Paul says. Now watch this here. He says the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his only son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control. Well, that's the best news I ever heard right there.
Uh-huh.
Who's your daddy? It's in my genetics. It has to be in me. Look what he says. God sent his son. God sent his son in a body like we have. And that body declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins.
Okay.
There is now no condemnation. You've been set free. We've been set free. We are free. Why? Because it's in our genetics. Not something that we did, but what Christ did for us at cruel Calvary's cross. We're free. We are free from Satan's control. So why do I give Satan so much of my life? Why do I give him so much control over me? Why is there so much animosity? And why is there so much anger? And why is there so much sadness? And why is there so much madness? And why is there so much just garbage in me? If my father is the Spirit of God, if he lives in me,
All right.
Why am I so weak when yet I'm supposed to be so strong?
Yes,
why am I lost when I know I should be found? Why am I blind and cannot see?
All right.
What am I afraid of?
Come on.
I've been released, set free, and yet I'm so afraid. Why? So I have to check my DNA. I have to check who is in me.
Right. Check it.
I have to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm.
spirit. It's in my genetics to live, church, a fruitful life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what God has given me.
Amen.
God has given me the it's in my bones to live a good life. God don't want me to be broke, disgusted, and can't be trusted.
Okay.
That ain't what God wants from me. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
I'm just trying to tell you what ought to be in your bones. God brought us in excitement.
Right.
Ain't nothing to be sad about in the church.
Amen.
If you're sad, you better go get a checkup.
Better call
Boat Bonaparte. What? One of them fellas call somebody. I don't know who you're going to call. You need to call somebody because something is going on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, church, because God's power lives in us and it gives us a fruitful life.
Right.
A full and colorful life. A full and colorful life. Amen. But the Holy Spirit, watch this. It produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience. Not only that, but it produces kindness in our lives.
All right.
This is the stuff that is just inherently in our bone. If we have been truly born of the Spirit.
Amen.
If I've been born of the Spirit, there's just some things that is just inherent. You know, let me tell you something. You know, just like your father, I'm talking about your real biological daddy.
Yeah.
You know, as he might be the worst guy in the world, and you try everything to get away from him, don't you? And you know what? You just can't escape him, can you? Every time you look in the mirror, your nose reminds you.
Just, right. Yeah. Looking right back at you.
He can be the best father in the world. And when you can be the worst kid in the world.
Yes, sir.
But every time you look at yourself, you're going to see some good traits of your father in yourself.
Amen.
And that's the same way with our Father, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We all, no matter where we are, no matter what we are going through, no matter what storm we might be in, because if we're not in one, we're headed into one or just coming out of one, it doesn't matter, but storms is in your life. But there's no reason that people ought not be able to see traits of my father.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why Peter says that we ought to have a joy that's inexpressible.
Yes.
A joy beyond our own understanding.
That's right.
We ought to have a peace that surpasses human understanding.
Yes, right.
Why? Because it don't come from me. It comes from my bones. It comes from my daddy DNA. It comes from, it's in my genes. I just can't help it. It's just going to come out. It's just going to come out. Is that all right? Are y'all with me? It's just going to come out. And that's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a child of God. You don't have control of it. Why? Because you've been free. You know, some things, you know, no matter where you are, some things you just don't have control of. That's just like arguing with somebody.
Amen.
You ain't got to argue with nobody for what? What are you arguing about? You ain't going to win. How old do you have to be to understand that?
Amen.
You'll never win an argument. An argument is not designed to be won. It's not designed to do that. And so why do I keep arguing? That's why Jesus never argued with them Pharisees. He never argued with them. Jesus stated his position and he kept it moving. I can waste my whole lifetime arguing about something. Husbands, you know you ain't going to win no argument, don't you?
Amen.
Have you ever won one? No.
I don't think so.
No. Why? You ain't never won one. You know? It don't happen. Amen. So if the Spirit is living in me, watch this now. The Holy Spirit enables Christians to understand God's thoughts and God's ways. in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. That is what the scriptures mean. Now watch this. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. That is what the scriptures mean when they say no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. Now watch verse number 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by. That's who, that's how we understand.
All right.
It's through the Spirit. Ain't that deep? Ain't that deep? That's us. Now you tell me we ain't got a right to be shouting for joy. What's wrong with us? Amen. Look what, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. It's in my bone. It's set up in my bones. And right, and it says no one can know God's thought except God's own Spirit. You see that? Now, how can I know what God's thoughts are? Because I have his Spirit. His Spirit is living in me, directing me, bringing me, searching for me. Searching, never stop searching. And we never stop learning about God because the Spirit searches it out for us. Them deep things, things that you can't understand, but you know God is working in your life. You know God is moving in your life. You understand that he's in you because you can feel it in your bone. That's why Jeremiah could say it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. I can't shut down. Sometimes you want to go, you want to stop, but you can't stop. Why? Because the Spirit. It's like fire. It have your legs twitching sometimes. Woo! Have you shaking sometimes. You don't know why you're shaking. Amen. Searching. Then you wake up early in the morning and you got this revelation. And you wonder where did that revelation come from? Been wrestling with something for months. You wake up early one morning and you realize that the Spirit reveals some things to you. And you pick up the Bible and you open the Bible and the answer right there, and you never. You didn't know where to turn. You just said, I know it's in the book. Because the Spirit searches these things. That's what's in our bones. It's shut up in my bones. It's fire in my bones. Boy, that's the Spirit. It's deep in my bone. It makes you just want to shout sometimes.
Right now.
Oh, hallelujah. Just make you want to do some stuff.
Hallelujah.
Oh, not that. Hallelujah. Make you speak in tongues. You don't know what you're saying. Oh, hallelujah. Spirit, because it's searching. It's searching and it's dealing with the thoughts of God. Amen. You ever notice sometimes you look in the Old Testament and you see how you want to know the mind of God. You look in the Old Testament and you know for a long time it don't mean nothing to you. And then all of a sudden it just you start to see how sensitive God is. But how powerful God is. How compassionate he is. But yet he can bring some judgment on you too. Yet he can spank you too. But he still loves you. And you began to see what he was doing with Israel. Amen, y'all. Y'all ought to stay with me now. So, church, I say to you this morning, it has to be shut up in your bones. And as I close, as I come to a close this morning, I want us to know the Holy Spirit, it enables us, church, to understand God's thoughts. And that's the most beautiful thing that I can tell you this morning. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given to us. Church, when we tell you these things, Paul says, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Holy Spirit. Using the Spirit's words. The Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths.
Yes.
But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit.
That's right.
If you ain't spiritual. If you're not spiritual, guess what happens? Guess what happens? You can't understand. Why do you think when God simply says in John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give you, and that is that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, the world will know that you belong to me. Why can't I get that? Because the Spirit ain't in me.
Okay. All
right. That's it. Simple. It's right there. How many times I got to read it? But why can't I love like Jesus? Jesus says you got to love like me. Why am I not making that effort to love like Jesus? Why? Because the Spirit ain't in me. And so I can't get these spiritual things. See, the word and the Spirit is the same. John 6 and verse number 63. It's the same thing. And so Jesus says, look, he says, the words that I speak unto you, I'm talking these words off the divine pages. He says, they are spirit and they give life. Life. Amen. So I wonder, why can't I get these simple things when the Bible says give? According to your prosperity. Why can't I get that? Why I got to live in a mansion and the church got to sit on a dirt hill? I can't get it. Because the Spirit. Why can't I assemble on the Lord's day? Can't get it. Why? Because the Spirit ain't in me. See, I can't get these things. I can't get it when it says to forgive my brothers and my sisters because I forgave you. I can't get it. Why do I want to stay in prison? Because you know what? To forgive is to set a prisoner free, to find that that prisoner is me. Amen. Jesus didn't say forgive for the person. He says you better forgive for yourself. That's why when Jesus said on the cross, Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And then what did Jesus say? He says, I'm finished. Amen. Now I can go on. I'm free to go to heaven.
Free.
Y'all ain't going to keep me down here. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive the one that's coming up after in a few minutes and poke me in my side with a spear. Forgive him.
All right.
Forgive him.
All right.
It has to be shed up in our bones, church. And so, if you're here this morning, you don't have the Spirit of God living in you. I encourage you. I encourage you to grab him this morning. Put him in your bones. You can. Your DNA this morning can change. Right now. By believing the facts of the gospel, that is that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He was buried in the heart of the earth and he rose again the third day, a mighty conquering king.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11 in verse number 6. And then one must repent. Acts 17 in verse number 30, the Bible says at one time God winked at this ignorance. This ignorance. God winked at this ignorance. But he says, but today God have commanded all men everywhere to repent. Then one must confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, and that is Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But he that whosoever deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. And then after that, one must be baptized for the remission of his sins. Peter said it well in Acts 2:38. He says, repent all of you, every single one of you. He says, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then he says, after you're baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can be born again today. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the Spirit and of the water, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You won't make it in. And for those of us that's been in the church a long time and have denied the workings of the Holy Spirit, I encourage you today to get down on your knees, to prostrate yourself before God. And ask God to forgive you. To ask God to put his Spirit back in you.
Amen.
If I have quenched the Spirit and pushed them out of my life, you've asked God today. If I'm not living right, if I just can't get it, you ask God to give it to me. Because he holds all power. He holds the light to my life. And I need that light in order to shine in such a dark and perverted world. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Please come.